Good morning, everyone. Lots to talk about the auto industry. Barack Obama, of course, yesterday gave marching orders to both GM and Chrysler, Chrysler has 30 days to come up with a deal with Fiat. General Motors has 60 days to restructure. But we're not going to wait. Let's get the slogans out of the way right now. And remember the history, okay? Auto slogans are really a part of America.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
Oh, Dinah Shore. I think that's from 1953. But we can't let the auto industry vanish, says Barack Obama. That was then. This is now.
Hi, I'm Greg Scott. I'm from Rhode Island. And here's my slogan for the auto industry. Remember Dinah Shore? Drive the USA into Biscayne Bay, because competition doesn't count at all.
Oh, we should just end the program right there. That is perfect. And Biscayne Bay, Biscayne is a Chevy car, I believe. So that's like double reference, okay? Oh, man. Dinah Shore, car slogan. Send us yours at 877-8MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. So joining us now is Dan Neal, automotive critic for the Los Angeles Times. He joins us, got up very early this morning from California. Dan, thanks for being with us.
Oh, sure. No problem. I was getting up at a few hours anyway.
car slogans are really a part of Americana. The advertising industry was created by the car industry, it seems to me. Mm-hmm. And, thinking about Dinah Shore, seeing the USA and her Chevrolet, when Barack Obama says we can't let the auto industry disappear, simply vanish, there's almost no way for that to happen. What was your reaction to Barack Obama yesterday talking about this American spirit of the auto industry?
Well, a couple of things about that. You know, if the domestic car makers went away, the net number of jobs in the U.S. would probably stabilize about the same. What's happened is that all of these jobs have moved south, and the supply chain for the domestic automakers and the what we call transplant automakers like Mercedes and Toyota and Honda and Hyundai and BMW, they all make cars in the South, right, which are right-to-work states. And so there will always be an auto industry. What really is at stake is the American ownership of a part of the auto industry, and that really is imperiled.
So let's talk. I wanted to spend some time with you just talking about, all right, what if we just thought really broadly here? Forget a specific GM bailout or a specific Chrysler bailout. What if we took all of the car building and car designing and technological resources within the United States, including some of the workforces that you've talked about for Toyota and Hyundai and the German car makers, and reconstituted some, you know, American auto company that in theory could produce green cars, would have a technological edge, would not have the liabilities, would have maybe a partially unionized, only partially unionized workforce. What would that consist of? If we cobbled everything together we have within our borders, is there a car company there that could compete favorably and maybe even, very, very well and triumph over the global product lines that are out there?
Well, there are a couple of things. You may be seeing exactly what you're describing come out of bankruptcy. You know, Wagner pretty much owned the argument that the auto companies couldn't go into bankruptcy because it would scare off customers. Well, what happened was that the travails of the auto company, especially GM, scared off customers anyway. So that argument proved not to be valid. And so we are where we are. Okay, so now the car companies are going to go through bankruptcy or a bankruptcy-like proceeding orchestrated by the federal government, however they do it. I personally have called for the temporary nationalization of those companies to effect a bankruptcy-like proceeding. But anyway, so now these companies, they are relieved somewhat of their historical and financial burdens. They managed to get their pension and retirement liabilities off the books. They have managed to close a lot of factories that are redundant. Okay, they're much leaner, they're much smaller, they have much less overhead. They still have, however, a tremendous engineering capability and workforce. You know, the smartest people in the car business are not in Japan. They're not in Munich. There in Detroit.
And Obama really talked about that yesterday and reminded people of that. React to this.
And no one can deny that our auto industry has made meaningful progress in recent years, and this doesn't get talked about often enough. Some of the cars made by American workers right now are outperforming the best cars made abroad.
So is that an argument, Dan Neal, for the federal money to be used to maybe buy the factories that Toyota owns? Toyota's having trouble selling cars. Buy the Hyundai factory. Buy some of the factories in Kentucky and Tennessee and you know, make them a part of this new national General Motors whatever.
Well, it isn't manufacturing. It isn't in factory capacity. It isn't in updating factories, although there is a Department of Energy program to help pay for modernization of such facilities and also, you know, the suppliers. No, what it is, it's the books. It's the accounting. It's the fact that you have something like 700,000 auto workers, retirees, and pensioners that are, you know, have saddled the company with this tremendous overburden, legacy costs. So that's really what has made these companies uncompetitive. And let's face it, they've been poorly managed. They historically, these the American companies have not invested in research and technology to the degree the Asian and German companies have. So now there was one other thing, though. You said build, you know, fuel efficient cars in the future. Well, that is a money loser. A lot of people join these two things together as if they ought to be, you know, that will make these companies financially efficient and they'll make fuel efficient cars. Well, look, you know, Honda and Toyota have hybrids sitting on their lots, you know, 100-day supply of them. When the price of gas goes down in this country, people don't buy fuel efficient cars. The Chevy Volt, that is this amazing plug-in hybrid car that Chevy has been, GM's been working on, you know, when it comes out, it's going to cost $40,000, and it'll probably cost GM $80,000 to make. And so in the short term, these cars are just not a commercially viable.
So is that an argument for a kind of an Al Gore-style, you know, dollar a gallon, $3 a gallon gas tax?
It is an argument, first, for a substantial, meaningful carbon gas tax, yes, and one that has some teeth in it, one that it ratchets up over time because, you know, we continue to fall into this this trap. Oil prices go down. Our buying habits become inappropriate. Then, you know, and then we have to struggle back when gas goes to $4 a gallon, and it will go back. And so that's one thing. We also need to subsidize, both on the manufacturing end and the buying end, these high-tech, next-generation, fuel-efficient cars, like plug-in hybrids, until the business case can be made of them. And it
well,
will,
let's focus on what's the infrastructure there. Is that like GM buys Tesla? Is there a place out in Southern California that's doing this kind of work? Is it buying foreign subsidiaries that have this sort of technical R&D?
Well, it happens, I think, more organically than that. For example, Nissan and Renault both have committed. Corporate partnership. Nissan Renault is committed to building electric cars. They're going to build, you know, 100,000 electric cars in the next 5 years. Toyota has and Honda both have sunk considerable resources into battery technology. GM is going to build the Volt, and they've, you know, started to build a factory, or they're trying to build a factory in Michigan to assemble the batteries. It's happening, right? And but it's just very, very costly because it's such early days of this technology.
So if the federal government assists GM in doing this and Chrysler goes off to Fiat, is poor Ford out of the picture here? They won't have benefited from any of this? Or are they going to be the only ones standing at the end of the day?
Ford is in a much better position. Ford pushed their chips to the in the middle of the table 2.5 years ago. They basically mortgaged the whole company, including the brand itself, the name Ford. They had about $26 billion in working capital that they used to restart the company, and they are in a much better position. They have a lot of European technological competencies. They're bringing the Fiesta to the U.S. next year. That's a car that gets 65.
Now, Ford, I mean, we were talking to UAW workers who wish they were working at Ford. Finally, Bolt in your Volt. Is that the new slogan, Dan Neal?
I like that. It's not bad.
All right. Dan Neal, automotive critic, Pulitzer Prize-winning automotive critic for the Los Angeles Times, talking far and wide about a new auto industry post-60-day deadline for GM. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, John.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.